This evening we're going to go back into the book of Genesis as we continue our study of that book, Genesis chapter 12, as we begin the account of Abraham's life. We're going to look especially at verses 4 through 9 this evening, but let's begin our reading at the first verse. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to your word, we ask for your spirit to guide us and teach us, lead us, and open your word to our souls that we might grow in our love for you, in our faithfulness, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. Hear now the word of God. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And here ends the reading of the word of God. We looked last time at the call of Abram and of the great promises that are there, the seven blessings that God gives to Abram, and how Abram heard the Lord and immediately obeyed. The Lord said, Abram departed. This evening we're looking at his journey as he comes to the promised land. And we can see from this short account, which covers undoubtedly many weeks, that he traversed the land from the north toward the south, and that he built altars and so took possession spiritually of the land and sanctified it for the worship of the Lord from that time on. Joshua in chapter 24, verse 3 reminds the people of Israel, I took your father Abraham, or rather God speaking through Joshua, I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan. And this refers to the account that we have just read. We can see in verse 5 how Abram first packed up for the move. And it is evident, though not stated, that God kept them safe on the journey. The journey would have taken a long time. Abraham was a sheep herder. They would have taken their flocks. That's his wealth. They would have taken all their things with them, grazing the animals as they went, following the fertile crescent around from Mesopotamia and coming in undoubtedly through what's today Syria, Damascus, and into the north of the land. And God kept them safe on this long journey. Abram is the first of the elect. And we see that he has to leave behind all other earthly attachments but his own household. He packed up all his possessions. That means that he had no intention to return ever to Haran, to the land where he left his father and his family. And we reviewed last week how Abram's call is translated for us by Jesus, where he says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Abram was the first who heard that lesson in the voice of the Lord and followed him, leaving behind everything he had known. And here we find him walking the length of the land. Indeed, in this section, beginning at verse 4 and ending with verse 9, we have what's called an inclusio. The verse 4 begins with Abram walking. It says departed in our translation here, but it's the verb walk in Hebrew. And verse 9 ends with Abram walking further to the south. And between these, when he was in Mesopotamia and obeyed the Lord and came into the land. And now that he's in the land, the Lord allows him to see him in some visible manifestation. We're not given any details. We cannot make an image of this or a drawing. But we know that the Lord appeared to Abram. It's striking that God never appears until this point in the Bible story when Abram sets foot in the land of Canaan. Even back in the garden, in Genesis 3:8, we heard of Adam and Eve that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It doesn't say that they saw him. In Genesis 3:9, God called to the man. And from the account in the garden, the only thing we can surmise is that they knew the presence of the Lord was there. They heard his voice. He probably made his presence felt to them. They were terrified because of their shame, but they didn't see him. Similarly, the Lord spoke to Cain. He spoke to Noah, and he spoke to Abram in Mesopotamia. But now he appears to Abram for the first time in the Bible. And the significance is the location. Not the person, but the location. Because God chose the land of the Canaanites who were cursed through the mouth of Noah, and we read that back in Genesis 9:25, to begin his renewing of the cursed earth. This is where God is renewing the restoration of the whole creation that was lost by the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden. The new heavens and the new earth cannot appear until the curse is lifted. Indeed, in Isaiah chapter 65, God tells us, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness." So God chose the land of the cursed son of Noah to begin his project of sanctification of the whole world, and his plan to overcome the sin of Adam, to cleanse the earth, is being executed spiritually as Abram arrives in the land. And that land of Canaan prefigures the holy nation of Israel, which God is going to call into existence, which itself prefigures the holy kingdom of God, the type of which we see gloriously in the days of David and Solomon, and more gloriously yet when the Son of God appears and begins preaching, proclaiming the kingdom of God, which is not of this world. And we see Abram building altars to Yahweh, the Lord who had appeared to him. And in building the altars, we see a conquest, a spiritual conquest of the promised land centuries before his seed would come and physically conquer the land. First, Abram demonstrated obedience as the testimony that he believed the Lord. His very obedience was the testimony that he believed the Lord. And he emigrated with all of his belongings and all his people. And then he came and he built an altar to worship and so to testify that the Lord is his God. He built an altar in a place where only the pagan idols of the Canaanites had ever been worshipped. And Abram will go on to build other altars. He'll build a second altar at Bethel, as we see in verse 8. In Hebron, later, he'll build an altar in Genesis 13:18. And finally, he will build an altar on the mountain in Moriah to which the Lord leads him, where he will bind Isaac. Now, the altar is a structure that is very special. It's a structure that is completely devoted to God. In a sense, an altar is a continuing theophany. It's a continuing visible presence of God. He is there. It is holy. An altar cannot be touched by unclean things. An altar is visited by God, who comes and consumes the offerings. And the Lord's altars, in fact, cannot be made with stones that man's tools have ever touched. They are so holy. The altar is where the worshiper can go to meet with God. There he prays. There he brings offerings for confession and shows his repentance and gives thanksgiving. You might remember how Noah built an altar to give thanks to God when he was once again able to walk on the dry earth. That time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And through that sacrifice of Christ, that perfect sacrifice, we no longer need an altar on the earth. This is why now God can be worshipped anywhere in spirit and truth. The altars, even beginning in Abram's day, were pointing ahead to what God would do, providing that perfect sacrifice by which he would lift the curse that is on the land, lift the curse that is on the world, and set the slaves of sin and demons free. Abraham walked through this land. Later, the land will be described as flowing with milk and honey, a type of paradise restored, graciously given by God to his chosen people, the sons of Shem. Are you walking with Abraham through the land? Does it make sense to even think about walking with Abram through the land? We can look back as Christians and say, oh yes, I hear that call to Abram to believe in the Lord and to trust him, to go forward in faith, not by sight, I live by faith. And that part of Abraham's life makes sense to us. But how about walking through the land? Well, think about it with me. The land of Canaan, what does it represent? Today, it's a land that is in warfare constantly. Civil war, foreign wars. But then the land represented a land inhabited by the ungodly. The Canaanites were cursed, by the mouth of Noah, who was a prophet then. And they gave themselves over to the worship of the worst of demons. They did all sorts of things that God found abominable. And taking the land spiritually is to break the power of the demons over that land. It is the first step in the restoration of the earth to God's holy rule. We continue to walk. We continue to live among the ungodly. And each time a church assembles to worship God in truth, each time Christian people meet to read the Word of God together, to pray together, we are breaking the power of demons that are still left on the earth. Jesus said to his disciples that when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. On that altar of the cross, Christ broke the power of the prince of demons. And everywhere Christian people go and worship the living God today, we proclaim the name of the Lord and continue to erode the power of the demons. So do not hold back, brothers and sisters. Proclaim the name of the Lord. Make mention publicly of the Lord. And you are following Abram's example, who went into that land, a sojourner, a stranger, with no rights in that land, humanly speaking, and proclaimed the name of the Lord on that land. In Exodus 34, we read, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. I recently had to minister to a man who was in a very, very, very destructive frame of mind. He was in a psychiatric ward. How do you minister to someone in that kind of situation? You pray and you go in and you proclaim the name of the Lord. You proclaim the name of the Lord because the reality of the power of the Lord will be present spiritually through prayer as he acts to break the hold of evil and to turn people away from wickedness and back to life in him. Beloved in the Lord, you shall inherit the land. Psalm 37 says, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you carefully look at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundance of peace. It's the wicked who are going to be raptured off into eternal darkness. And we will inherit the land. The Old Testament itself saw the land of Canaan as a deposit. The inheritance would eventually come, but was going to be much bigger than the land of Canaan. Psalm 82:8. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. All the nations. The view is far beyond merely the land of the Canaanites. Psalm 47 says, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy, for the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. The Apostle Paul tells us at Romans 4:13, for the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world. Catch that? Heir of the world. Did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Paul is telling us what Abraham understood when God said to him, to your descendants, I will give this land. It wasn't just the land of the Canaanites. He was promising that as the deposit. But Abraham's seed, in Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Abram was meek. He believed the Lord, and he followed and obeyed. And we receive this promise of the new heavens and the new earth, just as Abram received the promise of the land by faith, not by sight. We wait until that day that we see it. But we know that that day will come. We look to Abram, the father of those who have faith in the living God, and we follow his example. We walk in the land. The Canaanites are still around us. They're still worshiping their idols. But we walk in the land. It is the Lord's land. We build our memorials, our altars. We gather in our churches. We proclaim the name of the Lord. And we wait for God to fulfill his promise. We just sang a little while ago, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Beloved in the Lord, God has been proclaiming the gospel for many thousands of years. He began here, as you can see it, in the life of Abram. He began it earlier than that, back in the garden. He has repeated his promises time and again, fulfilling them through the generations, showing that he is indeed a faithful God. And we who continue to live by faith in our generation, not by sight, by faith, know whom we have believed. He will do it. Let us give thanks. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us through the understanding of your word as you laid out for the generations, for all of the nations, what you were doing through the sons of Shem, bringing into the world the hope again of life apart from the curse of sin, life apart from the curse of death. And we thank you, Lord God, for the example of Abram, who believed you and followed you, and who heard your gracious promises, and who was strengthened by your very visible presence as he worshiped you. And Lord, we who have known and have seen in the scriptures that the Son of God came in the likeness of men and came into this life as a slave and humbled himself even to death so that we should inherit the land. O Lord, we look back and we have been given such great testimony, far greater than what Abram had. So Lord, build our faith. Help us that in times of doubt and questioning, we might look back at your great works, at the wondrous miracles of Christ, at the glorious miracle of the resurrection, and know that the God who brought back the Son of God from the dead will fulfill every promise that he has made. And so, Lord, grant us opportunities this week to proclaim your name, to proclaim your name on the street, in conversations, in our places of work, to proclaim your name in song and prayer in our homes. For there where your name is proclaimed, you dwell, O Lord, and you sanctify those who proclaim your name in truth. Grant us, Lord, the strength to continue walking in the land with the confidence that you gave to Abram. We pray with thanksgiving in the Lord Jesus. Amen.